It worked! The day big unit worked!
We're through the looking glass here, people.
Did you hear something?
No.
Did I?
I don't know.
It's Simpsons time, and as I mentioned, I'm going to talk about Who Shot Mr. Burns, Part 1. And next week, surprisingly enough, I will be talking about Who Shot Mr. Burns, Part 2. Let's all talk about it. It is so triumphant an achievement. Done at the absolute pinnacle of the Simpsons' quality. Not their popularity. The apex of their popularity came much longer ago than that. But the end of season 6 is the point at which the majority of fans believe The Simpsons could do no wrong, and it was so good that there was nowhere to go but down from there. Even though it stayed good, just as good, for half a season to 2-3 seasons after that, depending on who you ask. This, of course, was a cliffhanger. It happened at the very end of the season. It was the last show of the season. And everyone had to wait until season 7 to find out the answer to the mystery. And they were encouraged to try to figure it out themselves over the summer, which was so cool. A parody of Who Shot JR on Dallas, of course. But in true Simpsons fashion, referring affectionately to something that had already been done on TV or, you know, in entertainment, and making it their own in grand fashion. So just so well done. It's a little bit of a weird format, you know? It's outside the normal Simpsons box because a lot of care was taken to have clues dropped in throughout the half hour of the show. And so because of that, the show has a slightly stiffer feel, to me at least, than other shows, but it's almost like everything is standing on ceremony, you know, like rising to the occasion of this extremely lavish TV event. Like the town meeting is somehow more tense than usual, you know, somehow more exciting than those town meetings always are. And not just because everyone is stroking guns. I love that little aside by Quimby's bodyguard, by the way, as he's addressing the assemblage. He's interrupted by his bodyguard. And then he says, it has come to my attention that a number of you are stroking guns. But the thing, if you go back and listen to it, the thing that the bodyguard says is, a lot of people are stroking guns. And it really makes me laugh. Of course, the thing that Mr. Burns does, namely, rob Springfield Elementary of its newfound fortune by slant drilling its oil, is very characteristic of Mr. Burns. But then the other thing he does, block out the sun, is fiendish even for him, as Smithers puts it. It's unconscionably fiendish. And indeed, we have not ever seen Monty Burns be that evil. So that's another example of how the show is, like, bigger than it usually is. And I don't know if you guys, any of you on the playlist, want to speak to this, you know, how your experience was of looking at the show and seeing if they could figure it out. But the mystery is really hard to solve. They made it very hard on purpose, knowing that all these fans would be poring over clues and using freeze frame technology and watching the episode over and over again, trying to figure it out. In fact, according to the DVD commentaries for this, only one person ever figured it out before the season 7 premiere aired. And it was somebody on the alt.tv.simpsons group. I believe that's what it was called. Which was the original Simpsons fan group online. The first one. I think SNPP came, like, not that long after. Or maybe even rose up out of it. And unfortunately, they were never able to find that person to give him accolades for being the only one to figure out that Maggie did it. And apparently he had his theories all mapped out as well, describing how she did it. Of course, we all were in the dark. Nobody, none of us knew that Maggie did it. The chief suspects were Smithers, you know, who was brought so low after being fired by Burns and, you know, having this whole identity crisis, really, of not liking Burns anymore and drinking and all this. And Homer, who flew into a rage, said a very loud profanity that sent doves flying and all that. All because Burns didn't remember him, which, of course, is a theme in the series and isn't really used anymore. Burns does know who Homer is now, but up until season 6, it was still happening a lot. But as I think it's Marge, or maybe Lisa? I think it's Lisa who says everyone in town is a suspect. Because everyone has a reason to hate him. I mean, they do anyway. But with all of these terrible actions that he does in Who Shot Mr. Burns, they have extra motive. Bart could have done it because the oil from the derrick destroyed his treehouse and injured Santa's little helper. Oh, and I hate that. Even though you only see it for less than a second, I hate the image of Santa's little helper pinned underneath the treehouse rubble. And I'm glad he's okay. But yeah, he was terribly injured and people made fun of him for having a lampshade and all. Willie is a suspect because he lost his job. And we all know how hot under the collar Willie gets. So he's like a pretty prime suspect too. Skinner is a suspect. He's one of the people that's stroking a gun in the town meeting. I believe his has a silencer on it. Because his school is robbed of its newfound fortune. Marge is a suspect because she doesn't like how he causes everybody to yell. We do know that she knows her way around a gun. Grandpa is a suspect because the old age home is destroyed and his home, you know, he has to move in with Homer and Marge. Mo is a suspect because people can't drink at the bar anymore because it's full of fumes, because right next to the drill. Even Tito Puente flies into a rage. And can I say, Tito Puente is such a good choice of celebrity appearance for this one. It makes perfect sense that Lisa loves him and that the feeling is mutual. And Tito Puente turns out to be this wonderful, avuncular music teacher, so enthused about coming to Springfield and teaching wonderful Latin rhythms to the kids. He wants to leave the drudgery of the professional mambo circuit, as Lisa says. And he also provides the opportunity that I always love for somebody to say, ay caramba, who actually is saying it in Spanish. It happens a number of times throughout the series. Fidel Castro also says it that way. So that's great. And it is also great when, upon hearing the bad news about the school, he puts his fist through his conga drum in anger. No word on how Mr. Largo feels about having an additional music teacher, but it's a moot point. The big, big, big clue that exonerates Smithers later and that sharp-eyed fans could notice to eliminate Smithers as a suspect is that on the TV in Moe's at one point, you see an ad for a promo for Pardon My Zinger. And it says that Pardon My Zinger happens at 3 p.m., and you'll recall, after the town meeting, Burns goes, have you ever seen the sun set at 3 p.m.? So that means that he was shot right around 3 p.m. And Smithers, of course, even in his drunken backslide with 5 o'clock shadow and a raggedy jacket and everything, says that he likes Comedy Central and that he never misses Pardon My Zinger. And we know that it's Comedy Central in the bar, too, because you see the silhouettes of the Mystery Science Theater 3000 people. You see that that's what they're watching, which is a very sly homage to that fine show, I must say, as well as being a great clue. But all these people are still suspects. But the very, very biggest clue comes at the end. Right before Burns falls upon the sundial, you see his coat opening. And the holster that he had had for his gun is empty. It's only like a couple of frames, 3 frames maybe. You see that. And so that is how we know that it was Burns' own gun that shot him. And the clues pointing to Maggie are so subtle, but they are in fact there. Early in the episode, Burns says he wants to take candy from a baby, He sees a baby in a sandbox, and he's about to take candy from them. But he and Smithers eat the candy sent by Homer instead. Right before the shooting, you see Marge putting Maggie into the car, and you see that Maggie has a lollipop in her hand. And we know that Maggie is pissed off because in the town meeting, when everyone is stating the reasons why they hate Burns, Maggie is the last person to express herself. There, you see a shot of her and she just goes suck, 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 with a really mad face. This is written by Bill Oakley and Josh Weinstein. Is it their finest hour? I don't know. They have so many. They, as a writing team, did so much for the development of the series, you know, past its initial popularity. They took it to new heights and new breadths. Like, they were the ones who came up with 22 short films about Springfield and all of these kind of outside-the-box ways to think about the series, including this one. It's directed by Jeffrey Lynch, who did just a tremendous job. I like that he brings back Burns' executive washroom, which we have seen before in the early episode, season two, when Homer gets hair. But that is preserved, that chessboard floor and the whole opulence of that room. And the oil drilling stuff is really cool looking, too. Not only is this a fascinating whodunit with all these different characters involved, it's a pretty good episode, too. I like how it is, how it opens with Skinner smelling the odor of the dead hamster, Super Dude. And there's even room for a really great dig by Chalmers when he shows up. Why is it that when I heard the word school and the word explosion, I immediately thought of the word Skinner? That's so good. They have this little back and forth about awful school is awful rich, the headline. So funny. And it is, of course, when Willie is trying to bury Super Dude that he strikes oil in the basement. I absolutely love all the different things that people at the school ask for that are all approved because of their newfound wealth. Ralph wants chocolate microscopes. And it's just such a cool device. You only see the request slip with the person's name and you hear their voice and you don't see them asking it. You know those guitars that are like double guitars? And one of these measures, of course, is that Tito Puente be allowed to teach music. Listener Ken from Hyde Park brings up that the sundial is useless after Burns blocks out the sun. The reason, incidentally, why he decides to do that is because the oil is not enough for him. He wants to just have a monopoly on all the energy in the town, including solar energy. And that point is made when Smithers is trying to argue the case against doing this. He says, the sundials will be useless, owls will deafen us with their incessant hooting, and other things. Krusty is not a suspect because he misses the whole thing. He, like, comes back from Reno during the meeting with suitcases. Sideshow Mel is something of a suspect. He's just as mad as everyone. But he has a knife. He has a little switchblade instead of a gun, so he could not have shot anybody. So it is a very big mystery, this thing that is happening, and all of us, just like the town, are plunged into the darkness of our confusion, and we wait for season 7 to arrive with the solution. And right up until the very end credits, the show is brilliant. As Hibbert asks, well, I can't figure out this mystery. Can you? Pointing at the camera. We wheel around to reveal that he's not pointing at the camera after all. He's pointing at Wiggum, who says he'll give it his best shot. It's his job. And the end credit music, which this is not, by the way, is kind of a nod to Oliver Stone's JFK. It's the Simpsons music done in that style. And that'll about do it. Thank you for listening to Simpsons Time. This song is 1, 2, 3 by Len Barry. It is the song that has taking candy from a baby in the chorus of it. And here it comes. See? My name is Amanda Nazario. I thank you very much, as I always do, for taking the time to listen to my podcast this week. Simpsons Time Through the Debigulator is produced by me. For you, under the aegis, affiliated with, and with the non-monetary sponsorship of WFMU, the world's greatest freeform radio station, or radio station of any kind. I urge you to make sure you subscribe to this podcast. We are on iTunes, especially this week, because next week I will be discussing Who Shot Mr. Burns Part 2, and I can't wait for you to hear that. Alrighty. Enjoy yourselves until then, and I will talk to you soon. Bye.